We are going to continue today our series on the on Jesus, on the I Ams. And I don't know, I have enjoyed these, I've enjoyed studying for these messages probably as much as I have any I've ever done and any series that I've ever done. And just for the fact of the way that John, every disciple, every book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, but the Holy Spirit does not bypass the personality of the people that he chooses to write the scriptures. And so we still see that personality of John coming out as he writes these this entire book and in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And by the way, if you haven't been catching Chris online Tuesdays at 6:30 for a study in 1st John, really missing something. And if you miss it on Tuesday night, you can go back and watch it later. That's what I've had to do on some of them, but they are excellent. I've had people ask me, if you're new to the faith, where do I start? Where do I start reading? And my answer is always start in John. Read through the entire book of John, and then when you get through with John, the question is, where do I go next? And I say, to John. Read John again. Read the Gospel of John again. And then when they say, okay, after I do that, where do I go from there? And I say, read the Gospel of John again. Read it once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you, you'll be surprised at each time you read it, how the Holy Spirit will reveal more. Each time you read it, the Holy Spirit will open it up even more to some things as you study. The book of John is amazing, and that's where we've been for a little while as John begins to tell us about Jesus, who the claims that Jesus makes of who he is. Number one, I am. He claims to be God. And so then in that, he begins to reveal himself in different ways, and today's is just amazing. So look with me at John chapter 14, let's start in verse 1. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. There used to be big fights with King James only people over that one. It has to be mansions. It has to be mansions. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen me. You have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that'll be enough. Now, I want you to think about Philip here. I'm reading it from the NIV. I've had this memorized in King James Version, so my mind is battling as I'm reading to try to read it the way it is here and not just quote it. But he's saying Jesus, he goes on and Philip asked him this, but then we got another disciple here in a minute. Show us the Father and we will know, that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, do you not know, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this. Believe me when I say that I am the Father, the Father's in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles. So Jesus has met. Let me set this up. Chapter 13, this passage follows what just happened in chapter 13, and that is that Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room. He's going to have a dinner with them, and Jesus washes their feet. And as Jesus chooses to wash their feet, he is telling them, I'm also, not only am I washing your feet, but there's a message in this for you, because what I want you to do for each other is what I'm doing for you. I want you to serve each other. I want my servant heart. Here I am, God, and I'm washing the feet of dirty humans, and he didn't say it that way. So if I can do that, I want you to serve each other. Nobody is above serving. And so Jesus begins to tell that, and then he goes into some tough things. Of course, Peter, as always, you know, Jesus is going to wash Peter's feet. No, Lord, you can't wash my feet. You know, it's this super humble thing going on. And I think he was sincere. I really think Peter is sincere. He's sincerely confused sometimes, but he's sincere. And so, you know, he's saying, no, you can't do that. And Jesus, well, if I don't wash you, you're not going to be with me. And he says, oh, okay, forget just the feet. Just give me a bath, Lord. Just give me a bath. You know he's not getting it. He's not understanding it all. And I'll never leave you. I'll always be there. Yeah, I know. You'll always be there. You'll never leave me. What you don't know, Peter, is before the rooster crows, you're going to have denied me three times. Oh, that never happened to me. And so now this is an interesting meeting, because now Judas, Jesus is revealing that he is about ready to go to the cross. He's about ready to die. And he is revealing that Judas is a betrayer. And before this evening is over, Judas is going to get up with his piece of bread, and he's going to leave, and he's going to be exposed to all of the disciples as the one who will betray Jesus. Now, why would you do that? I mean, if you're Jesus, you know he's going to do the betraying. Why even say anything about it? Because if he had not exposed Judas that night, here's what would have happened. Judas would have betrayed Jesus. Jesus would have been arrested. And the rest of the disciples would have been sitting back thinking, Judas surprised him. He didn't know what was going on, and now it's all over. And so what Jesus was wanting to get into the disciples' heads is, not for one second will I be out of control through this entire situation. Not for one second is somebody going to do something to me that is going to surprise me. Not for one second is somebody going to do something to me that I don't allow, because if I don't allow it, they can't do it. They don't get it. They're still not getting the message. And so Jesus meets with them. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Can you imagine? I just kind of imagine, you've got this group of 12 men who've traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. They've all built relationships. Even with Judas, they've built relationships. Now, like every relationship, it ebbs and flows. Every relationship has its challenges and also its great times. Moments of conflict or moments of disagreement, but it's normal, it's natural. But things have gotten so serious in this moment, because now one of their 12 has gone, left, and it's known that he is going to betray Jesus. So now it throws the whole group into, oh man, what, I mean, can you imagine what's going on? What if you had a small group of people that you met with and you found out that one of those people that you've been meeting with for 3.5 years is about ready to betray one of the other people sitting in your group? It would bother you, wouldn't it? And then if you're one of the ones in the group to find out that Jesus thinks you're going to do something that you know you're not going to do, I mean, Peter knows he's not going to deny Jesus. But it bothers him that Jesus thinks he's going to. In reality, we know the story, right? Because he really does. But that's what's going through his head. And so there's a lot happening in this scene. And so Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's telling him, I want you to know I'm going to prepare a place. What is Jesus doing? When Jesus is talking about the rooms, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Is he talking about loading up a heavenly truck full of heavenly lumber? Lumber that will never rot, nails that will never rust, to build a heavenly home. How is Jesus going to prepare a place for him? By going to the cross. I'm going to prepare a place for you in me. And there's room for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, there's room for everybody that believes. Does that make sense? That's the reason when the King James people got so tore up, when even the translator had to put mansions in there, when mansions doesn't really fit, but they had to put mansions in there because they had a picture of what was going on, but that wasn't quite it. Jesus is going to prepare a place. In his Father's house are many rooms. Room for all of us. Everybody that will believe, there's room. And all of that room is in Jesus. Because when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place, he's going to the cross. That's how he prepares the place. And Jesus lets them know, right now, in this moment, you can't come where I'm going. But once I've prepared the room, once I've gone to the cross, once I've risen, then you can come and you can go where I'm going. Then he begins to reveal, even though there's we don't understand this Father thing and who who are you and all of this crazy stuff going on in the disciples' heads as they're trying to figure out in this last moment, what is Jesus talking about? And Jesus just drops this one little thing and he says, I am the way. We don't know the way. I am the way. Jesus didn't just say, you don't have to know the way because I know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Does that make sense to you? I am the way. I am the, and I am the. So Jesus kind of lays down a picture. Now, let's talk about each one of those just for a second. I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Now, it's one of the things that separates Jesus from all other religions, because many other religions will say that their religion is a way, but there are other ways as well. Jesus is very exclusive here. He excludes every other thought of a way to get to heaven except for one, and that is through him. No man comes to the Father, Jesus said, but through me. So he is pretty well, he's just saying, I am the only way. He leaves no room for anything else. How many of you ladies, and this is probably going to have to be an older, maybe a little bit older crowd, kind of like me, because now we've got our cell phones, and you can just put in directions, right? And it tells you, somebody talks to you and tells you every which way to go. Mine uses the words redirecting a lot, but back in the day, you youngsters from 50 down won't remember this. We had to use maps. Now, you think Maps is an app on your phone. Paper maps. We would go to a place, buy a map, spread it out on the hood of the car, and we'd sit there and we'd chart our course. Now, if you had the brain I've got, you didn't have to write anything down. You just looked at it and you remembered. So we were at the beach and I got this wild hair thinking, you know what, honey, it was the last night. We were going to leave early the next morning. I said, let's just leave tonight. Let's just drive back. I can drive through the night. Traffic won't be bad. And you know, I'm not sleepy. By the time we get there, you know, we'll be home by morning. And so I convinced her. Same way I convinced her to marry me. Honey, it's going to be better than you ever imagined. So we got in the car and we left. I didn't have to look at a map because it was here in this trap. So I knew the numbers of the highways we were supposed to be on. I thought, then we kept on going. And we drove down this, we ended up in this one part of some town, and I have no idea where we were at. No idea. But it was a place where you expected to be carjacked. If not carjacked, you expected a gang fight to happen with 12 murders right smack in front of you. And so I drove really fast. And then Carla was saying, this ain't the way. And I said, honey, it's the way. And she said, this is not the way. I said, honey, it is the way. And she said, it's not the way. She was right. It was a way. It was not the way. I almost got my family killed because I thought that a way was good enough. The entire world is running around going a way, not the way. And so it's like Jesus said, there's one way that's really narrow that leads to life. There's one way that is really wide that leads to death and destruction. In this wide way are all the A ways. You with me? In the one wide way are a million A ways. Every religion is a way. Where is it at? It's in the wide way. Every human effort to get to Jesus, to be good enough, to try to be good enough, to try to be morally good enough is a way, but it's not the way. It's not the narrow way, but it is a way. It's in the big one way, the big one wide way, but it's a way in the wide way. Right? But it's not the way. So some of you are in a way. But are you on the way? But what is the way? The way is Jesus. He told us. Nobody, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get to the Father. I mean, if there is a creator of this universe, if there is one God, don't we want to go toward Him? And Jesus is saying the only way to Him is through me. I am the way. And so he teaches, guys, if you're going to go, I'm going to be gone here soon. But here's what I want you to know. It's okay because I've gone to prepare. I've gone to prepare the way. How am I doing it? What does he mean by that? I'm going to the cross so that I can forgive and wash your sins away and so that you can come back into relationship with the Father. And when you come in through me, the way, the gate, you'll have a relationship with the Father. And then he says, number two, the truth. The truth. There's only one truth. When you live as long as I've lived, you see all kinds of fads come along, and every generation kind of invents its own little fad that really becomes popular. My generation was some of the fads was guys with earrings. And so, now, Bobby, you're in my generation. So you remember, and I wanted one so bad, and mom and dad just would not go for it. And then tattoos. And I'm not talking about the little guy on the plane, but I'm talking about the ink. The ink. And I wanted to get ink so bad. And my mom and dad wouldn't let me. And then I married Carla and she wouldn't let me. Now, I did get a secret one that she finally saw, but nobody else will ever see. I'm kidding. So, or not. Anyway. That was a fad. So one of the fads now, what were some of the things that we used to say back in the day? I know you're not as old as me, but cool and neat. And I think y'all still use cool, right? Neato, neat, I don't know. But everybody has their things. Well, right now, with this generation, it seems like this is it. It is, this is my truth. Now, I know that's your truth, but this is my truth. Meaning, my truth and your truth are going to be different, or can be different, which means it's all built up, that truth is relative. So truth is based upon your life experience, my life experience. It's based upon your worldview contrasted to my worldview. So if I have a biblical worldview and you have an atheistic worldview, your truth is fine, my truth is fine, we both have fine truths. It just ends up being your truth. There is an absolute truth. There is a truth that is the same for everybody, everywhere, at any time, no matter the nationality, no matter where you've grown up, no matter what your race, no matter, none of those things matter. It is the truth for every single person. And it has been. So you think about this, if we go back to Germany 500 years ago, what was the truth? It's the same as it is now. The absolute truth of Jesus, that is the truth. Are you tracking? In this country right now, we live in a world with an atheistic worldview. A Christian nation, America is no longer a Christian nation. We used to say that, but it is more, I guess, what you would call now a post-Christian nation, which means we used to be, but we ain't no more, right? No more. We are not. So the atheistic worldview from the top of the government all the way down, our world right now is being run by atheists. Some atheists who will use Christianity as a way to get votes, but everything you see says, I'm an atheist. And we see it all the way down, and just in case some of you are saying, I'm so glad I'm not a part of that party, in every party, we could go right now to every, we could go to the Democrats, we could go to the Republicans, we could go to Independents, and we could go to whoever you guys are. And you're going to find people in all of those who have an atheistic worldview. Now, what does that look like? Okay, an atheistic worldview says that there are no moral absolutes. There's no moral absolute. What does that mean for us if there are no moral absolutes? It means that morality is relative. It's just, you know, it's relative to who you are and what you think and the way you were raised and where you come from. So morality is relative. The only problem with that is when my truth says that it's okay to murder, when my truth says that an adult man having sex with a child is okay, if that's my truth, if you have an atheistic worldview, you have no right to try to force your truth onto me. Is anybody tracking with me? You have no right. And so the atheistic worldview says, hey, to each his own. Listen, you believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. Let's all just do what we got to do, and we'll love each other. That's cool until you believe that murder is okay, and you come and murder a family member of mine, and now I have to change my view. Because I am no longer willing to settle on moral or absolute morality being a way of life. I mean, it's no longer acceptable to me. Why? Because your truth just came in and destroyed my truth, or at least one member of my family truth. Is this making sense? I've heard people say before, you can't legislate morality. Why? Because there's no absolute truth. There's no moral truth. If you legislate morality, then you're legislating somebody's truth, but not everybody's truth. The problem that atheism wrestles with is your all's religion has a truth that's not a truth. My thinking is that atheism is just as much a religion as Christianity. Because atheists have a God, but their God is themselves. Is anybody tracking with me? And if you're here today and you're an atheist, don't be offended. We've all been to that place before where we were trying to figure it out, but if you just kind of get to this place to say, let me think this through. If there is, and we have to have an absolute morality truth. We have to have it. So if we do, where does it come from? How do we adopt? Where does it come from? Well, it has to come from a God. No, but wait a minute, bud. Can't be that. It doesn't have to be a God because there are good people with good morals. Yes. But there are also bad people who are evil. And if all is relative, and if truth is relative, then I can't force my atheistic, even though moral view, upon somebody else over here who is evil and raping and murdering and destroying lives. So God himself, who is spirit but a moral God, has passed on to us inside with a conscience and with his word to know what that moral truth is. You tracking with me? When Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, he's letting us know that there is no absolute truth, or there is no truth outside me, the absolute truth. Everything else is an opinion. Everything else is your way, your viewpoint. But there's only one truth. And his name is Jesus. And then, last, he says, I am the life. I am the life. I'm the one that all dead people come to find life. And all dead people are all of those who do not know him and have not accepted him. Which means you can live this, you can be alive in your body, but dead in your spirit. And it's not until you really receive life in your spirit through Jesus that you can go to the Father. And if you don't go to the Father, it means you don't have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Therefore, you just exist. To make yourself your own God, I promise you, that will let you down. Do you know, we want to know why our world is so confused right now? Why our country is so confused about everything? Because we have made ourselves gods. And when what I believe does not line up with what he believes, then it becomes my truth. And I build my own truth. And now I have become my own God. That will not fare well. It will not fare well for a country. It will not fare well for a society. It will not fare well for a person. How do we get to that life? Nehemiah, how many of you, or not Nehemiah, but Naaman. How many of you remember Naaman in Scripture? Anybody? Everybody would y'all just do this right here for me just for a second? Both hands, just up good and high. Everybody that can, okay? You know, now poke the person beside of you whose hands are not up because they're asleep. All right, thank you. You can put them back down now. I just felt like this was too important to sleep through, okay? So, Naaman was a leper. He was a high-ranking official, but he was a leper. And he needed to be healed, so he went to his little servant lady and said, well, there's a prophet of God. Go to him. He can tell you how. He'll tell you the way to be healed. So he goes to the prophet. He knocks on the door. The prophet's servant comes to the door. And he says, go duck 7 times in that muddy river. And so he leaves, and Naaman says, can't there be another way? There are more rivers around here that are so much cleaner than that Jordan. Can I just go and dip in one of those? No, because those are a way. They're a way that may make you think is the way, but it's a way. The way is what God said. God spoke through his prophet and said, go to the Jordan and dip 7 times. It's God's way or none. So Naaman goes to the Jordan, and I can imagine as he's dipping in the Jordan, maybe he's thinking, one time will do it. He dips 1 time and he's still got leprosy. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, he's still got leprosy. 6 times, he's still got leprosy. Is this even going to work? It'll work because it's the way. It was the way that God said to do it. And when you do it the way God said to do it, you're on the way. He dipped that 2nd time and he came up and his leprosy was gone. But before he did it God's way, he wanted to try other ways. He wanted to go to that clean river. He wanted to go to that lake, but those were only a ways. He had to go the way. God makes it so simple. We make it complicated because we try to make ourselves God. See, it's complete surrender. Once we completely surrender ourselves to him, the answer is easy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now let me ask you a question. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? If you are here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you would like to do it now, would you just lift up your hand? Quickly up, back down. But I want to receive Jesus today. I want to receive Him as my Savior today. Anybody else? Father, I pray Your blessings upon this group of people. We worship You today and we celebrate You today. And right now, for those who receive You as their Savior, we celebrate the new life that they have. We're going to stand and sing. Corey, come up here. I'm going to pray with you, brother. Come on. Let's stand and sing. Corey is receiving Jesus as his Savior today. We're going to rejoice with him.